This is Corporate Cafecito, where we discuss career development and entrepreneurial growth strategies. I'm Mario Rodriguez.
Y yo soy Nayeli Suarez Guez. Go get your cafecito and let's talk about professional growth.
We're going to be talking about the quiets. What does that mean? Well, there's a term out there called quiet firing and quiet quitting. Nayeli, talk to us. Describe, what is quiet firing?
So it's really interesting. The past 3 years have been all about the quiets, which are anything but quiet. So in 2021, it was quiet quitting, right? Doing, you know, and I hate even saying this because it says like the bare minimum, but it's not. It was working your work hours, right? And then at 5 o'clock, you're done. It didn't require the extra, you know, staying up till midnight or doing this or any expectations, but just doing what you were hired to do and no more. In 2022, it was the year of quiet firing, where maybe, you know, as a leader, as a manager, you weren't really engaging with your whole team at the same level or at the same pace or with the same diligence. And so what you ended up doing was purposely leaving people out. And part of why you left those people out was because you didn't want to engage with them. You didn't want to bring them along, or, you know, you just kind of hoped if you ignored them,
They'd leave.
This year, or the term for 2023 is quiet hiring, which is, you know, and we're seeing these with, you know, layoffs and restructurings. Instead of backfilling roles, we're taking that, and I'm not saying we, I'm not, but other people are. They're taking that role and spreading it across other people or adding it on to another person's responsibility. So you may be doing the work of two people now. And so that's quiet hiring, where you were doing a job, someone left or a role was eliminated or someone was laid off. And instead of hiring someone new, they've quietly hired you to do that job.
What do you think is the impact on all these quiets happening? What's the adverse effect?
I think the reason it's happening is because people are unhappy. And if you think about quiet quitting, to me, that speaks to just a discontent in the workplace that you don't feel like putting in more. And as companies have put more and more pressure of doing more and more work, you're just like, you know what? I can't keep up. Maybe it could be both. It could be a sense of hopelessness of like, I can't even keep up. It's 5 o'clock. I'm done. Or it could be a very empowering statement of it's 5 o'clock and I'm done, you know? So I think it's both. It's an empowering feeling of I'm going to do what you hired me for. The expectation, you know, has always been of going above and beyond. And maybe that's why we're at a burnout level. That's why, you know, as people give more, you know, we talk about work-life balance and then we changed it to work-life integration. And maybe it's just like, hey, I just need a day.
Yeah, it's interesting that there's terminology for this now, because I think we all as humans just go through the motions and not knowing why we eventually get stuck in a rut, right? So this really helps us reflect. And I hope that this is just kind of eye-opening for everyone that's listening. Because I've had conversations with individuals that are full of integrity and they would perform and go above and beyond while their peers are just doing the bare minimum. They're out at 4 o'clock, they're out, or 5 o'clock, whenever it is that they check out, and they do no more, no less, right? And to that, too, in regards to those that are excelling and doing and wanting to do more, there is some of that shifting. There is some more expectations on them. They're all peers, right? They're all peers, but they see, okay, this person is standing out. Well, let's load them up with more, right? So there's that cultural imbalance as well that happens. So how have you coached individuals out of that?
It's interesting because I love the idea of setting boundaries. And to me, this is a boundary that employees are setting. I have a big rule. I walked away from corporate America because I wanted to pick my boys up from school. It meant something to me. My parents were never able to pick me up from school. So I wanted to be there when they got home now because they don't need me to pick them up at school. They want to walk home by themselves. But I wanted to be there. And so even if someone schedules a call from like 2:30 to 3:30 or from 2 to 3, I always say at 2:45, I need to be off this call because I need to go get my boys. And if I were in the corporate world, that would probably be called quiet quitting, right? Of setting a boundary where I won't compromise this because it means something to me. I believe that people who are quiet quitting, like they've put a very negative word on a very firm boundary. That's what we want people to do. We want people to say boundaries. You have to have a time where you just say, you know what? It's also my life. And I, you know, I work to live. I don't live to work. And for people who do live to work, like hats off to you. That's great. Like there's nothing wrong with that. But it's a choice. And we have to have, if you give someone the choice of doing extra work, you should also give someone the choice of saying, hey, I'm going to go home or I'm going to go take care of my kids or I'm going to do this. And it's not me not doing the job. It's just that you've paid me till this time to do this work. And after this time, I'm setting up my other, you know, I have another life and I'm putting that as a priority.
Yeah, it's important to for everyone that's listening is to prioritize, right? Give it your all when you're there, right?
Yeah.
Be full of integrity, give 110%. But yeah, we all have families we have to attend to.
I'm going
to
stop you there. Give 100%.
Okay, give 100%. All right, so yeah. So it's a great point that you bring up there about making sure that you set those boundaries and well, you're focused on something, let's say work. You give your 100% there while you're there. But then there's other competing factors. I love what you said. We don't live to work. We work to live. There's other priorities such as family, your spouse, aging parents.
Right. Or just right? You time. Maybe you just yeah. You take a class after work or you want to go have dinner with your friends. Like we shouldn't compromise that.
Yeah. Excel where you're at that time period, but then have, you know, things for everything. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge having that balance. But unfortunately, it has that negative connotation when you set a boundary. Right? It's a healthy boundary. It goes back to that work-life balance.
Absolutely.
But they call it the quiet quitting. It's interesting how that meaning comes because of someone just being positive.
Right.
And keep their sanity at some point, right?
To say, I you know, hasta aquí, and then I'm got to go do this. And the problem is we hate disappointing people. And so a lot of times we would give, you know, that 110%. But now you're giving that 10% of your time. What are you giving up when you're doing that?
Yeah.
Is it family time? Is it, you know, time with your friends? And I want to stress that if you are single or you do not have a family or, you know, I've always hated when people value that time differently. And I remember I worked for an individual and I had finished his presentation. It was a Friday night and I called him and said, hey, it's ready to go. You know, I've sent it to your email. And he said, do you know you're taking away from my time with my family? And I was so mad. I'm pretty sure I yelled at the phone and I was like, do you see where I'm calling you from? I'm still at the office. And just because I don't have kids or a husband or whatever, it doesn't mean that my time is less valuable than yours. And so the quiet quitting is coming from a younger generation. And I love that they're doing it because their time is just as valuable.
If you need more clarity on finding the right job or need help preparing for your next interview, please go to corpcafecito.com and email us directly so we can help you. We offer an array of services to help you with your professional and career growth strategies. You will be glad you did. Years ago that your kids will never be one again, they'll never be two again, they'll never be three again. You want to make sure that you're there for them and make the most of it because then they become teenagers and they don't want to spend any time with you. But that time is precious, right? And just making sure that you're making the priorities. What are the top priorities? And It is a challenge, right? Where I'm not saying that I've got it down pat, but I'm glad we're having this conversation, because in that you start having breakthroughs, and I hope the same for those that are listening as well. That just to kind of take. I like to call it the R3. This is my R3 method I've coined. Is you're going to rest, reflect, and reset. Right? There's nothing wrong, because there's going to be good days and bad days, but take that time to rest. And when you're resting, reflect, it's like, what could I have done better today? Am I getting my priorities aligned? Am I focusing on, you know, my intention when I need to? But then when do I shut it off and go and tend to my family? To me, that's one of the most important things. And then reset, because you're going to get, hopefully, with God's help, you have the next day to wake up and go at it again. So making sure that we're doing that, the R3 method, because again, it's rest, reflect, and reset to get it right the next day.
Yeah, absolutely. And taking that time to say, this is for me. This is for me. If I want to do this, it doesn't matter what I'm doing after work, and I don't have to explain my decisions in my outside life to my career, to my job. When I think about quiet firing, this one makes me really sad, because I feel that quiet firing is when you start excluding someone or you want them to go away or quit. And when that happens, that manager has not been given the right tools to have conversations with these team members. They haven't been given the right training or leadership development to have that awkward or, you know, maybe uncomfortable conversation to say, hey, you're not performing, or I need you to be here, or, you know, you can't just ignore the problem and hope it goes away. That's not a strategy.
I've experienced that at one organization I worked years ago, where if you were successful in one area, they think that you just go touch like King Midas and be successful in every area. But what started happening is that if there's a new opportunity, there's a new skill that is required, right? And so what occurred in that organization was you sink or swim, right? I remember the manager at the time telling me, hey, where's your fire at? What the hell does that fire mean? Like, what do you mean fire? Like, now looking back, almost 15 years back to that time, is, you know, what tools did he provide me? Did he even have a meaningful conversation? It's like, hey, what do you want to do? What do you think you need help in? Right? And as a great manager, you know, a skill of a great manager is finding, it's like, here, let me show you and bring to your awareness what are some things that you're going to need to work on, and let me give you the resources. Mm-hmm. So often I think organizations just like find, turn and burn, and let's go find someone else. It's like, do you know how much money it's costing you?
Right.
To go find somebody else.
Right.
Instead of investing in someone that you've already invested a ton of money in.
I love that you brought that up, because we have, you know, let's say someone asks you for a raise. And most of the times we don't listen to that until people are leaving.
Oh, they offer you the world then.
Right. Then it's like, oh, we'll match. We'll do this. And we discourage people from asking for a raise. Oh, it's not in the bottom line. It's not this. And blah, blah. We need to take into account what it takes to find someone in this market, how long it takes them to be trained, to be developed, to be able to do the job, and go back and be like, should we give this raise? Would this raise protect us from having to start all over?
And sometimes when that happens, they think it's about money. And what I've had conversations and done some research, it's not about money sometimes. It's about their sanity. It's about the balance that they have, right? Is there too much being put on someone's plate as well? Can they balance that out? Because it tends to happen. So it's not always about money. I had a conversation with a friend of mine who actually just transitioned from one organization to another, and he just felt the culture wasn't happening. It wasn't aligned with him, right? He made a comment that stuck with me. I wrote it down that, you know, when someone decides to leave, they'll tell you, well, you know, the grass is never greener on the other side. And he said, the grass is dead here, right? It's like, wow, that was powerful. And maybe it's not, but I know that something's broken here and it's not going to get fixed. I got to venture out.
Right.
And it's a risk. That's a risk you take, right? But you know that sometimes there's no changing what's happening. And that's where you make a decision like, let's move for something that helps me in my situation. It's easier said than done, but I'm just sharing that experience in that conversation I had with a friend of mine.
I love that. The grass is dead.
Yeah, it's like, grass is dead here.
There's nothing but mud here.
Right.
Any grass would be greener grass.
Right. Yeah.
But it's true, you know, and I think about, you know, quiet firing is a disappointment for the management team, and it's also a disappointment for the employee. Like you said, when there's unrealistic expectations or when they just give you no expectations. Mm-hmm. You know, someone I was coaching said, I've been doing the same thing and, you know, they call me different titles, but I'm not challenged. And when I ask for more challenges, I'm not given them. They tell me I do a good job with what I'm doing. And that's a failure to develop someone. That's someone literally telling you, hey, I can do more. And then they just say no. So that person quit. First they quiet quit. And then, well, first they were quiet fired, right? Where they were asking for a bigger challenge or more work or different type of work, and they were denied it. So then that person just stayed until they quit, but they weren't developed. They weren't brought along. They didn't feel included. And that was a miss on the organization's part, because that person is really brilliant, is really strong, found the job right away because of their qualifications. And now the first organization has to fill this giant void of someone who had been there over 10 years.
Most recently, I had a conversation with a friend of mine who left a major organization and felt that, you know, they had her pegged in a certain position. And despite, you know, opportunities or the EBRGs there, she just didn't feel like they were aiding her to take her career to the next level. So she exited. And in her new interview at the new corporation she's at, one of the interview questions, not interview questions, the questions she had was, I want to work for a place that's vested in me. Mm-hmm. As much as I'm invested in the actual organization, that actually takes the time to find out and provide me opportunities for growth. So on the flip side, you know, this quiet firing, quiet hiring, you're also going to get a clear view of what you really want, right? And so your ask is like, hey, you know what? I think this is a perfect match, but here's what I want too as well, right? Because so often we know what the organization wants. Well, we can voice what we want as well. And at the end of the day, is it manageable? Is it workable?
So let's talk about quiet hiring for a little bit. Because mm-hmm. right now, if you think about any restructure or layoffs or anything like that, that's going to leave a lot of people doing the jobs of multiple people. And that's what quiet hiring is all about. That's where a position's been eliminated or a role gets, you know, restructured out. And now you're taking on the role of multiple people. And this is a time where you're going to, you know, this is where you're going to figure out, is this what I want to do? Can I take on that additional role? If I do, like, if it's just given to me first, it starts as just, can you do this report or can you take over this one account? Can I add this one to you? When that happens, that's a great time to reset expectations with your manager, with your director, VP, to sit down and say, you know, I see I'm getting more accounts added. Is there going to be a compensation increase that goes along with this? What if I don't want these additional accounts? What does that mean for me and my development? What comes along with these new responsibilities? Because if you just take it all in and all on, they're going to keep piling it on. But I think this is the time when you have that open conversation of, yes, can I do that? Yes. Or no, I can't do that. I feel very saturated with what I have. I'd be more comfortable if I didn't have to do that. And, you know, pushing back is hard. And if you do push back, be reasonable and have a reason of why you're pushing back. You know, I'm spread this thin, or I'm already doing this, or I can take on additional responsibilities, but I would like to be compensated accordingly.
It's important because you're setting some healthy boundaries, right? And then you're making an educated decision on that. And then you're also exploring, you know, how you perceive it to be. It's like, am I missing something? You know, in that conversation, I always encourage everyone, just go with a sense of curiosity. Am I missing something? Explain how, and then be curious. The question behind the question, how does this look like? What's the support that's going to be provided?
Is there a title change?
Is there something that could come off my plate to then focus on that?
I love that. I always say that. If you're going to give me another ball to throw in the air, can I take some of these and drop them?
And some of those balls require more attention than the ones that you have. And is it a higher priority? So in that, you have to be valiant enough and courageous enough, because at the end of the day, I think everyone wants to succeed and generate the results. But in that, there's a couple of things that have to shift. And in that new strategy, are they able to provide the structures to support you? Right. There may be some training you need to take, right?
Right.
And just because you've done what you've done doesn't mean that you're being set up for success. And that's like, all right, let's just say, what are the skills? What are the requirements around it? All right, let me internalize it. And you know, it's a conversation. You don't have to make a decision. It's like, well, let me think about what I need.
Right.
You know, skill set. So.
And then also, what's the career path after this?
Right.
If I take on this additional responsibility, is there, what path am I on? Is this, or for how long? You know, will this open back up? And then it'll get taken off my plate. And, you know, ask those questions and feel confident in asking those. You are your own advocate. You are the one responsible for your career and your professional growth. And, you know, I would hate for anyone, as you get quiet hired to take on these jobs, to instead be like, you know what, I want to quiet quit. And I'm just going to do the bare minimum, because at that point, sometimes you may feel like you're not giving your all, and you're not giving your all because you're not engaged. And that's a horrible position to be in.
And that impacts, now that you said it, it just has so many impacts of so many dimensions, right? Not just at work, in your personal life
yeah.
as well. You start just checking out. And so I've you know, had conversations around that with individuals, and that's not a healthy place to be at, right? So going back to something to avoid that is the accountability piece. So if something said, all right, this is going to be for a period of time, we all forget stuff, and we have to be reminded, like, hey, let's revisit that conversation that we said we were going to have. It's that time.
Right.
When are we transitioning? And there's things that, you know, in organizations, like, all right, well, we have to make adjustments or budgets to make that happen. But keep it top of mind, because sometimes if it's unsaid, doesn't mean it's gone away.
And set, you know what, if you're like me, I forget everything. Go back and set reminders on your calendar of when that check-in's supposed to be.
Right.
You know, as you leave that meeting, say, great, you know, I'm going to recap this, and I'll also be sending out an invite. We said that in 3 months would touch base, so I'm just going to put it on our calendar so that we have it there and it's safe.
Yeah, very good. So we've covered so many things on the quiets.
The
Hopefully
quiets.
Hopefully you learned.
Yes.
I know I've learned here. And hopefully you're able to rest, you know, reflect on this and reset on this piece, because it's so important, because the economy and the workforce is just changing so rapidly day to day as well. So you want to make sure that you're aware of what's happening and not just kind of like, how did I get here?
Yeah, and that you feel prepared and that you're able to advocate for yourself and have those conversations, because if you don't speak up for yourself, no one else will.
So here you go. Be courageous. Be courageous. Be thoughtful and kind to one another in how you approach these conversations. So, well, thank you for tuning in to our episode here with Corporate Cafecito. I'm Mario Rodriguez.
I'm Nayeli Suarez-Guez. And just a reminder, head to our website, www.corpcafecito.com. You could listen to all of our podcasts on any of the major platforms, but you can also listen to them on our website. So we look forward to la próxima vez.
Please like, share, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Adios. Corporate Cafecito was produced in beautiful downtown Oak Park at Boulevard Studio. Audio engineer and editor is Mike Mitchell.
We're available on every podcast platform.